Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Connor, and so the diversity of talent is a component that makes that room as competitive as it is and so helpful to us as a collective.
He never would have mentioned Heath Miller III when talking about a group of tight ends. I'm only bringing that up. I get it. Freiermuth's not Heath Miller. He never will be. But they're paying him like he is a top 10 tight end. And whether or not it was by mistake or not, when getting into the talents of each, he mentioned Pat III. And oh, by the way, lately, that's where he is on the depth chart in terms of snaps and games. He gave him a very niche kind of skill set there. He's a guy that beats zones. Mm-hmm. Up until 2 weeks ago, I never remember hearing Pat Freiermuth talked about as a tight end who really only excelled against one kind of defense.
They pay him to be a tight end who's on the field every down.
Yes.
Doing everything. Granted, not blocking very much, or like certainly not like a George Kittle or one of those guys, but they paid Pat Freiermuth the kind of money that suggests they think he was a weapon. Just a weapon, period, in our passing game. He is an offensive weapon. Now he is apparently Pat Freiermuth, king of the zone defense.
If I told you guys you could trade him for someone that was a number two wide receiver, would you do it?
Yeah.
Donnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not using him, man. If you're telling me, like, give me an example of a number two that you think is, like, you know, somebody who could realistically fill that role.
Jacoby Myers. Not that they would ever do it because they already have two tight ends. But
right. If they were going to make the whole plane out of tight ends for Jacoby Myers for Pat, yes.
You flip him to a team that needs a tight end. You take that pick. You then trade that pick.
Do the Saints need a tight end? Can we get, not Olave, but...
No, they've got the Penn State guy there. Another one, Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Jawan Johnson.
He just, I don't know, man. It's been, they don't want to say it because, you know, ruin the good vibes. And I think Mike does like that Pat isn't, like, vocally complaining. But it's obvious that he's fallen out of some favor there. There's just no other way to interpret it.
Here is Mike Tomlin on what's going on with the Steelers' offensive line.
You know, I think the collective has gotten consistently better, but I just think that's a reasonable expectation. They're young as individuals. They're young as a collective. And with experience comes execution and precision. That's been the overall trajectory of it. I've probably answered that question every week over the last 3 weeks, and my answer is still the same. It's moving in the direction in which we would like it, certainly, whether it's an individual within the group or whether it's the group as a whole.
It was a rocky start. They couldn't block anybody and move people in the run game. And Aaron Rodgers was getting hit a ton. And that has changed the last 2 weeks. And I think the extra offensive linemen and putting the big, beefy people in mm-hmm. has made it better, which is fine. Like, I don't see that as a criticism. I'm not sure people are criticizing it. But, all right, if something isn't work, what do? Just stubbornly, like, stick with the five guys and say, get the job done?
Isn't the definition of good coaching identifying where you aren't doing well and trying to take measures to fix it? Like, it's not what everyone wants to see because their offense, with the passing game specifically, is mainly DK Metcalf and then try to sprinkle in other players. But their 41, almost 42-year-old quarterback isn't getting killed anymore.
Yep.
Guys are finding running lanes. They got to triple digits against the Browns. And they neutralized Myles Garrett with their game plan so much that I kid you not, this was a tweet from PFF 7 hours ago.
Oh, God, do I want to hear from
them? A lengthy video post that's gotten about 200,000 views, breaking down the confusion around Myles Garrett's PFF grade and how the Steelers schemed him out of box score production.
So he did great. He just couldn't make any tackles.
A roundabout way of saying he still won his pass rush reps, but because the Steelers' scheme was so good at neutralizing his actual ability to impact plays, that's why he had a high grade and low, like, actual stat production.
So at the end of the year, when PFF gives out their NFL awards,
he'll
I expect to see Artie Smith as their assistant of the year.
I agree.
He played a phenomenal game. He did literally nothing, but he played a phenomenal game. You got to credit their scheme.
I'll tell you this. They should give out a game plan of the year award, and Artie Smith should win it for week 6 versus Cleveland.
But I would even flip it to, does that mean that Schwartz's scheme blew ass?
He didn't find a way to get Garrett.
Yeah,
untracked.
And the whole thing we give them credit for all the time is he moves around to make sure that what you just said, Chris, doesn't usually happen. He wins all these reps and it goes for naught.
I did like one of the people in the mentions pointing out, remember the play where Jones managed to backtrack and like clip him just before, not actually clip him, but like Rodgers flipped it to Warren?
Yeah, I love that play.
Warren was one-on-one with Garrett and absolutely nuked him at first impact.
I loved
impact.
Warren in that game. Warren had a big block on the touchdown third to Hayward, too.
He nuked him right into the pile of people. To Garrett's credit, he didn't give up on the play and he kept chasing Rodgers, and then Jones was able to sneak back in there and get a small piece so that they could get something out of that play, but I
do think the
very funny.
I do think the question becomes, and I don't think it'll happen to Thursday against the Bengals.
Yes,
the question is with the Spencer Anderson and Darnell Washington thing. What happens when they're losing in a game? Because when it's close or they're winning, you can use those two guys. You can stick with those two guys. But if it's like the Seattle game in week 2 and you're down,
what do you do?
You're not going to have those guys out there necessarily.
Isn't the hope, though, that part of this play here is that your O-line, the five starters, gain some confidence here, too, and start playing better? Like, it's training wheels a little bit on a bike. We're helping you. We're giving you extra. One extra guy plus a tight end who's bigger than all of you. Right?
Yep.
And we hope that if you ride with four wheels for a while, you start to ride with two wheels as well.
The other thing I like about it, because this has come up a lot, and this is a fan thing, but the Steelers have, I think, quenched their thirst on this. They do have an offensive identity now. They're known for something. They weren't before. They really haven't been known for anything for years. Their identity now is that they get bigger than everybody else.
It's bully ball.
Yeah. But it's not just a slogan or a saying now or like a mentality.
No, it's
they're actually
tangible.
Putting chess pieces on the board that let them play that way.
They are lining up on any given play now when they have Washington and Spencer Anderson out there. They're lining up 7 players, I believe you would say, right, who are all over 300 pounds. Frazier's got to be a touch over 300, I would think.
Have the Steelers ever dressed somebody over 400 pounds?
Who would be close? McCullers at his heaviest?
That's not a bad guess.
How about that big dude from Florida? I wanted him to make a team. The kid from the U of Florida. He was like 460.
Yeah, he's on Tampa's practice squad.
But didn't he get moved to this practice squad because his entire preseason was just losing weight.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lose weight.
Yeah. Football Talk on the Fan is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. CBS has a single header this Sunday. The Steelers play Thursday. So what game are we going to get? Here are the options. Dolphins at Browns at 1 o'clock. Patriots at Titans at 1 o'clock. Raiders
the
at
Mike
Chiefs
Vrabel.
At 1 o'clock.
Raiders at Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
4:05. You've got two spicy matchups. Giants at Broncos. Colts at Chargers. I want that game.
Yeah, Colts at Chargers is far and away the best game there.
What's the worst game? Browns-Dolphins? That is a tough one.
Yeah, I actually think Patriots-Titans is even worse.
At least that has the Mike Vrabel angle, though.
There's one,
God, Browns-Dolphins
pretty good-looking team.
Browns-Dolphins just feels like staring into the abyss here. Who's on that game?
Spiro Dedis and Adam Archuleta. With Aditi Kinkabwala policing the sidelines. Tickets in Cleveland as low as $42 for that game. Not the cheapest ticket in the NFL this week. What is it? This will shock you. Commanders Cowboys, you can get in for $21 in Dallas.
No way.
Yeah.
You know what? That would be like, if I were a Dallas fan and for some reason I was disillusioned, though, at least they're fun to watch. I know they lost to the Panthers, but like, you want to take your kid and see a lot of action. A Cowboys game is almost like a guaranteed hit the over kind of game.
I think they're what the 2024 Bengals were.
Bingo.
Yeah.
100%.
If I wanted to take my kid to watch football for that cheap, I'd rather watch a team that's probably going to give up about 30 and score about 30, pull a Jameis Winston.
Then watch the Browns.
Then watch like 10-6. My God.
All right.
That's obvious.
Let's get to the Hawk Report. From 93.7 The Fan, Steelers Insider.
Saw it coming that time.
Jeff Hathorn. All right, Jeff, no Calvin Austin at practice again today. This doesn't seem like as big of a deal because the Steelers' offensive identity has shifted, and we've seen Spencer Anderson and Darnell Washington so much lately. Do you expect that the Steelers will stick to that in Cincinnati, or will they pull a rope-a-dope here and surprise Cincinnati and come out with some much different-looking offense?
Well, you know, historically, although, you know, it's a new coordinator now, it's been Cincinnati's been a Pat Freiermuth day.
That's right.
And the last couple of games. So maybe we see a little bit more of that. I think we see Pat and Jonnu take a number of those reps. But, I mean, they love Darnell. I mean, you hear so many things about his improvement and how there's still more there. And obviously such a different matchup. And obviously he can also block and set up the run game for them.
How much of it is they love Darnell versus, in Pat's specific case, he's maybe fallen out of favor? Mike Tomlin called him a zone beater tight end. He's the great guy against zones. You don't say that about a guy you've paid that much money to, where you put him into one specific role.
Yeah, I'm still not there yet, Chris. I still think there are going to be games where he is going to be more featured than he is now. And throughout the course of a season, injuries could happen and his role could expand, but I think it's the matchups they have now. And Arthur was asked today about trying to find ways to get those two guys the ball, and it's he was very quick to say that it's matchup specific.
Sure.
Now I'll buy into that. I will say this, and we saw this out of camp. I mean, we've seen ways where they've taken the tight ends and flanked them out, and we might see some more of that.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question to you this way because I'm very curious to hear how you answer it. If they had to put out a depth chart that showed their true feelings and not some BS one that the NFL requires them to do, and they had to put out a depth chart listing their tight ends from 1 to 4 on how they really feel about the guys, how would they do it? Ranking them.
Wow. So skill sets have to play a part in this. Matchups have to play a part. I would say it's Jonnu 1, and then depending on the matchup, either Pat or Darnell and Connor 4.
Jonnu 1.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I just assumed it was going to be Darnell, Jonnu, Pat, Hayward in that order, frankly.
Huh. It's not that we haven't seen the Darnell snaps, but I still think Jonnu. I mean, there's a lot of history with the offensive coordinator. True. With Jonnu. I think they still feel there's more there with John, and we saw them try to get him the ball a couple of times against Cleveland.
Jeff, if we asked you to not BS here and rank how they would feel about the quarterbacks across the NFL. Would Mike Tomlin put Joe Flacco ahead of or just behind Patrick Mahomes?
Ahead of.
I mean, what was going, like, where do you come down on the motivation? Was it just, I don't like Andrew Berry personally, or he wants no part of seeing Joe Flacco on the road on a short week in division?
I think it's the principle of it is a big part for him. Like, what is a team doing trading the quarterback that started for them at the beginning of the season to another team in division? Now, obviously, that here directly impacts the Steelers, but I think there's an annoyance more to, like, how the Browns are operating. Like what are you doing?
Do you trading? Think he feels like they did it to stick it to the Steelers at all?
No, I don't think that. I just think it's an overall feeling.
Okay.
And I think he's just annoyed as more as a competitor. And obviously,
we heard he was mad about this last week, Chris and I.
He was extremely mad
and wanted to make sure he got a chance to say something about it.
He which is why the question came up, because there were a few of us standing there, and he mentioned something like, "Oh, who are you guys going to interview now? Andrew Berry?" And at first, we're Rolodexing in our mind, like,
Wait,
is there a player? Like, or is he talking about the GM? Like, what's he? And then it kind of hit us, and Carter was first, and credit to him to bring that up to him and had that fantastic answer.
All right, Jeff. So Austin not going to play. We saw very little from the other receivers against Cleveland, and they ran the ball well, and they played great defense. So it really didn't matter. Roman Wilson did catch one football, and outside of DK Metcalf, that was it from the supporting cast of wide receivers. Where are you currently on the Steelers trading for a wide receiver at the deadline? Likelihood it happens and potential names.
Yeah, I think there's a potential that it happens. I'm not going to go as far as say likely. I think you're looking at more depth, not a number one. You're not looking at someone to compete with DK and, you know, it was said today again by Arthur, like, hey, everyone in that room knows that DK's our main guy. Like, he's going to get the most of the reps. So A.J. Brown or someone that's going to want to get a ton of opportunities, especially with them trying to feed the tight ends as well, I don't think that's a fit. I think – I'm trying to think of it. Waddle's probably too big of a name.
Shaheed from the Saints.
Maybe. That's a good one. You know, I don't think they would go back into like the Van Jefferson well or
something along those lines.
But I do think this. I think one thing that they've learned from the way their secondary has performed due to injuries is they probably need a little bit more depth there. I mean, look, they made trades at a lot of places to win this year, and I think there's a knowledge that they need to at least inquire about adding depth at that position, and not just a guy who doesn't have a job right now, but maybe a guy on another team that team's going nowhere.
Would Highsmith be on the table?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't. They like this package. No, I don't think he would be on the table. Now, I'm not saying never, but this season, no.
Jeff, we were lauding Jalen Ramsey yesterday and just talking about the way it feels. Not only has he been really good on the field, but you're kind of getting the attitude like Joey Porter in a good way when he played. Might not have been their best player. Now, Ramsey sometimes is on defense, but Porter was like the heartbeat of that defense attitude-wise. Can you just give us a sense of how he has changed things in that locker room versus Minka? Because it certainly seemed like Minka's teammates weren't the biggest fans of Minka by the end of it.
In some ways, they're very similar in terms of how serious they take practice, but there is a – it's more of a team thing with Jalen than it was with Minka. Like, Minka would do a lot of – he would be out there forever, but a lot of that stuff was on his own. And not to say he wasn't a good teammate or that he didn't – you know, he wasn't for the team. But with Jalen, like, he brings this swagger, this attitude. And then when he did what he did on Sunday, you heard what Aaron said about him and how he gushed about him. And other guys are saying similar things on and off the record about, hey, this guy doesn't just bring that attitude, but then he backs it up by going out on the field and making those type of plays. And it is, I mean, it's not a Harrison, and it's not quite full Porter because he doesn't talk as much as Joey, but there is this, like, I'm here, and we're not messing around here in the secondary. I think Aaron's brought that on the offensive side. You know, We heard him say it, and Broderick said it too. Like, he'll get in Broderick's face and tell him to quit screwing around. Like, get to work. Like, you need to focus in on this. And I think Ramsey is a similar guy on the defensive side in the secondary. And when you can bring that type of game and then bring that type of dedication that he showed on Sunday, that's when you really win over your teammates and coaches.
Jeff, Mike Tomlin's never won a game like Thursday night's
crazy
AFC North road opponent on a short week. Your prediction for the game in Cincinnati this week, will Joe Flacco turn back the clock against the Steelers?
Yeah, man, I remember Thursday night there with Ryan Finley, five years ago? That was just brutal. But I don't think this will be it. I think Steelers win 27-16.
There you go. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah, not worried about Joe Flacco one bit.
What was that segment's name?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is the Hawk Report.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That music means it's time for a Donnie football debrief. Donnie's biggest football topic of the day. It's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Before we get to Donnie's biggest football topic of the day, Jeff said, yeah, the Steelers are not going to go out and get A.J. Brown. Adam Crowley said this morning and tweeted that he doesn't want A.J. Brown. If the Eagles called the Steelers and said, hey, we'll give you A.J. Brown. Adam Crowley said, no, I would not want him. Reaction from you guys on that?
Feels a little bit like you might run into a Pickens-type situation with him.
Really?
A little bit. I mean, his big problem in Philly is they can't get him the ball. I think Rodgers could get him the ball more. But
sure. Do you think the Steelers can win the Super Bowl right now?
No.
Would you start to change your mind if you added a massive talent to it and say, yeah, it could blow up in their face, but heck, he's probably somewhere between the 5th and 10th best receiver in the NFL?
He would change the calculus. He'd feel like if you're protecting your quarterback, he's going to
So he's
give
a needle mover
weapons
for you.
He does move the needle. He's really good when he's right. They can't, I mean,
why would you say no to needle mover?
Because I'm not positive it's going to move the needle in the right direction. Because the Arthur Smith offense has never, I know he's had A.J. Brown as his guy, the main guy, but would he be wide receiver one or two here?
Does it matter? Is he wide receiver one or two there? They won a Super Bowl that way.
I mean, I think he's obviously the better player of he and Devontae Smith, but I don't know.
All right, let DK Metcalf be number wide receiver number two. He was fine with that in Seattle and he got paid. He was never the main guy there. He had JSN, he had Tyler Lockett before that. He's fine, and they play together in college.
I think implicit in these like statements of would you trade for this very high-profile receiver is nobody thinks as much as it's done a good job for the Steelers at stabilizing and giving them an offensive identity, nobody actually thinks going ultra-big personnel is sustainable in the long term.
Well, right. Well, yes. I mean, I don't think that they're going to win a Super Bowl on the backs of Spencer Anderson and Darnell Washington, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, so I think people feel like they need to change what they are still fundamentally to have a chance at it.
I think that this would get filed under the a great player is potentially available, and when that happens, you should be interested in it, especially when it also happens to be your position of, I would say least talent.
Did he and Metcalf
talent?
Get along really well, I assume, at Mississippi when they were there together?
Didn't you literally say yesterday they still worked out with
each
other?
No, they did when they were getting ready for the draft.
Oh.
But I have no idea if they were like best of buddies.
I would assume that they don't hate each other based on that. I know Metcalf got married recently. I'm sure we could go look back. But then again, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts were at each other's wedding. So what the hell does that prove?
The other thing is, too, Hurts, I think, has a well-deserved reputation as a really good leader of men type of player.
And Aaron Rodgers doesn't?
Well, Aaron Rodgers, I think, has been a really good leader. Like, the thing that's weird with Hurts is sometimes he just, like, misses A.J. Brown a lot. And even though I think he's the reigning Super Bowl champion, and yet I do feel like Rodgers, if he was kept upright, would find A.J. Brown.
I put it through this test. Donnie, do you think if at 10 o'clock tonight the Steelers traded for A.J. Brown, Crowley would go on the morning show at 6 a.m. and say this was a dumb move by the Steelers?
No.
Me neither.
I'd respect the hell out of him if he did.
Why?
Because he'd be sticking to his guns.
But I don't think he would stick to his guns.
Well, that is the Crowley
promise. Because if they actually did it,
yeah, everyone
we would
gets
all
excited.
Be pumped.
Everyone gets excited because no one imagines, like the moment the trade gets consummated, nobody's imagining the bad side of it or the not working side. Everyone's pumped up because holy F, they got A.J. Brown in the fold. No one thinks about the what if this doesn't work out in the immediate aftermath of it actually being done. It's just human nature.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean,
if you trade for a name as big as A.J. Brown,
right?
Like,
there were plenty of people in this town who thought Aaron Rodgers was a bad move, and he's about as big a name as you get in football.
When the Pirates traded for Chris Archer, the overwhelming response was, holy crap, they went and got the biggest guy out there.
I agree with that.
Now, people had misgivings about it, but they weren't in the moment. You didn't have people coming on the air going, can you believe that they gave up these two guys? It was like, ah, screw it. They finally went for it.
Yeah, but the Steelers had made a lot of go-for-it trades, and I don't think they've all been super well-received. I mean,
I
we had people calling after the Jalen Ramsey trade and bitch about Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I still think
being
the perfect wide receiver too is probably somebody who's more of a complimentary player to Metcalf than a fellow number one.
But you say that you would actually be more excited for like Rashid Shaheed than you would AJ Brown.
I mean, resume wise, no. But I just wonder about the fit. Are there enough? You know, you got to feed a bunch of mouths now.
Since when are you fit guy? I thought you were talent guy. I thought you were talent wins guy.
I mean, when
I
said
you
I was,
give
every
me the
time
best
I've
players guy.
Every time, well, no, because I was ready for George Pickens to get the hell out of town.
Yes, but I don't think A.J. Brown is George Pickens. How do I know that? A.J. Brown has been on a team that won a Super Bowl.
Isn't
it didn't
that
self-destruct.
Isn't the fact that he's been on a Super Bowl champion and he's still pretty pissed off evidence that on a lesser team,
Malsy,
he might be more pissed
you're
off.
You're a Randy Moss guy. He went team to team in large part because he wore out his welcome. But when he got to those teams, he generally speaking made them really, really good. Same thing could be said for Terrell Owens.
Did he make the Titans and the Raiders really, really
he
good?
He was at the end of his career and old by then.
Make the 49ers really good?
Well, then should we start to not put him in the category of best wide receiver
also,
of all time?
He also played once he wore out his welcome certain places, but he went to the Patriots with the greatest quarterback ever at that point.
Now you're starting to denigrate Randy Moss. Why do you think he's the second best receiver of all time then?
I mean, I also think Randy Moss, like, it's actually somewhat disrespectful to compare him, even, like, the character on the field and sometimes the personality issue
yes.
to George Pickens. I think Randy Moss is a way better
I'm not
better
comparing him
than,
to George Pickens right now.
Okay, even than A.J. Brown. I think Moss knew what Moss was good at. Get me the ball.
I agree. You were the one that started to say negative things about Randy Moss's career. Not me, buddy.
I just think I just have major fit concerns here. But apparently that just makes me like Crowley. A big wet blanket.
Well, wait a minute. Let me actually do this. I'm really going to put him on the spot here, Donnie. If the Ravens traded for A.J. Brown this week, your reaction wouldn't be, uh-oh.
No, it would be because I think Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers right now.
You've been very bullish on Rodgers all year.
That doesn't mean I think he's better than a healthy Lamar Jackson who's a top two quarterback in the league.
You have a good quarterback. You give him better guy to throw the football to, and your reaction is, I don't think this can work. Shouldn't it be, if you have good quarterback, give him better wide receiver? Quarterback and wide receiver get better?
Who's
that
better?
That should be the math.
Would you say Rodgers is better than Hurts right now?
Rodgers is a better thrower of the football than Hurts.
Is he a better quarterback right
He's
now?
He's not
Jalen
a better
Hurts.
Quarterback than Jalen Hurts because Hurts is an elite running quarterback. He's one of the best running quarterbacks of all time. Not like Lamar Jackson because he's not as fast, but as far as physical runner, he might be the best quarterback of all time.
Does adding A.J. Brown fit with how they've run their offense so far?
He played in Arthur Smith's offense, so I would say yes.
Do you trust Mike Tomlin to deputize Arthur Smith to throw the ball around more because we've got to make sure we get our other big wide receiver involved?
Yes.
And do you really want to be doing a trade like this with Howie Roseman, who seems to pull the rug out and pull the ripcord on assets when he realizes they've hit their sell-by date for him?
Yes.
Okay.
Donnie, want to give your two cents, seeing that this is your segment?
Yeah, I mean, I would absolutely do the deal. If there was ever such deal on the table for A.J. Brown, you absolutely
would. Well, I am shocked that you are so scared of him.
This is also a year that you strike in the AFC because, as we have seen week by week, it looks like a team that is 500 might be the best team in football, the Chiefs, again, but no team looks dominant. This is an odd year how it's gone through the first 6 weeks where it actually feels as if the Steelers are right there with some of the better teams.
If Philly said we just want to wash our hands and for whatever reason, they're just like, you could have them for a second-round pick, you wouldn't do it?
No, the opportunity cost matters, the acquisition cost. It does.
So in that situation, you'd do it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm Mike Tomlin, though. Maybe I'm influenced too much by Tomlin, and I'm making hypothetical roster opinion decisions because I'm living in my fears.
Is that what the YouTube channel's saying?
No, the YouTube channel's saying, weirdly enough, young Hillary Clinton looked like Sidney Sweeney.
I mean, that's a high compliment to old Hill.
I mean, I haven't gone looking for pictures of young Hillary Clinton, but that was a strange one. They seem, a lot of people in the chat, in all seriousness, seem to want Waddle here. They're definitely against me. I think most people are excited about the idea of A.J. Brown coming here.
I'd want A.J. Brown before Waddle because I think Brown's
a better player.
Yeah.
Is Brown better than Pickens?
Yes. He is.
Okay.
I think Brown's issue is that when he's not involved, he's not happy about it. I don't think he takes plays off like Pickens does. And I think that's a huge
differentiator for me is how much would the Steelers change their offense to fit him, and can Rodgers get him the ball? Because Hurts does miss him when he's open, which is weird.
What do you got for us, Don?
10 minutes in.
You actually wanted me to
yes.
do something?
If yes. you have anything, if you, if,
Pony
if,
was very fired
If you
up.
Liked what we did, we can leave it at that, which I'm
what
fine
did
with.
You have?
I was just going to go over the herd hierarchy because I saw Pony tweet out other power rankings around the league.
CBS Sports has the Steelers third in the NFL right now and tops in the entire AFC. The only teams they have ahead of them are Tampa Bay 1 and Green Bay 2. How about that?
No. I mean, they're not better than the Chiefs.
I would put the Chiefs ahead of them.
So would I.
I'd probably put the Colts ahead of
them. If we're just talking
the
AFC.
So would I.
I have to put both of those two teams ahead
of
them.
I went Indy, Seattle, Green Bay, and Kansas City. Those are the four teams I put ahead of the Steelers.
I put Tampa ahead of them.
Green Bay's
got a loss to the Browns that's worse than the Steelers' loss and a tie of the Cowboys. I cannot put Green Bay ahead of them.
They also murdered the Lions.
Okay, the Lions just lost to the Chiefs. Like,
yeah, that's why I didn't put the Lions in, and their secondary super banged up.
I'd put Tampa up there.
So you think the Steelers are better than the Packers?
Right now, yeah. I mean, I always try to answer these power rankings questions right this second. Weirdly enough, I mean, what I saw from Buffalo, I watched majority
of I didn't
of
put Buffalo in my top
no,
five.
No, I'm saying, like, you might be expecting old Malzi to do the old, well, they still have Josh Allen. That team looks, like, kind of broken.
They
right
have
now.
Josh Allen, and that's all they have.
I think
Cook's a pretty good player, but they...
Well, I was following all
them.
Those like WGR guys that some of them whom Pony used to work with or knows really well, and they seem like they are at DEFCON 1 with that team right now, man. It was weird watching.
Same with the Eagles. That's why I didn't put the Eagles in the top five.
It basically comes down to, can Josh Allen put on his Superman cape, and then that determines if the Bills will win.
Honestly, Atlanta's kind of an interesting team right now. They have one of the weirdest losses of the entire season.
I was
going to
say, I have a personal rule where if you get shut out by Carolina 30-0, I can't rank you ahead of the Steelers.
No, I know. I mean, to me, the probably two clear teams I would put above the Steelers without any reservations are the Colts and the Bucks.
Well, I had to put Seattle, too, because Seattle beat them,
sure.
All right. Good one, Donnie.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.